From Clocker Valley in County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us as Gospel Minister the Reverend Peter McIntyre is here to let the Bible speak and preach Christ in all His fullness.
Hello and good afternoon, Peter McIntyre with you for the next 15 minutes, bringing you the Gospel through the Word of God and through song. It is Christmas, so we'll begin with a Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and then we'll be turning to the final part of the parable of the sower.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, ridden with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die.
Reading this afternoon from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, we're reading the verses 8 and 15. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. The parable of the sower is, as we have been emphasizing, one of the most important of our Saviour's parables. This is because it is mentioned three times in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark and Luke all repeat this particular lesson. The sower represents the Lord Jesus Christ going out to bring forth the word to sinners. He did so himself personally when he was upon this earth, and he does so today when the word of God is presented by preachers and by God's people. The various kinds of ground represent the hearts of people who receive the word. The wayside is indicative of an individual who receives the word but has no time for it. He shows no interest whatsoever in the gospel. The stony ground illustrates the one who makes a profession of Christianity, but it is not a real possession of Jesus Christ. Through time, his profession proves to be false, simply because he has no root. The seed sown among the thistles, again, illustrate a person who receives the word, appears to be a Christian, but the cares of life, love for riches, for material things, choke the progress of the gospel, and the person shows more interest in these things than he does in Christ, because he never was saved to begin with. Today we come to look at the good ground. Firstly, please consider this. The good ground was prepared. Every farmer will tell you that before he can begin planting seeds, he must prepare the ground. That is not only true for the farmer, but it is true for the person with an average garden as well. Before seed can be sown, the ground must be worked at. And the farmer will use the plough, the gardener will use the spade. And the purpose of these instruments is that the soil might be broken up, the ground might be churned, softened, made ready for the seed. Now the question is, how does God prepare the hearts of men and women to receive the gospel? Let me read to you John's Gospel, chapter 16, the verses 8 through to 11. There we will learn how the Lord does this work. And he is come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he, that is the Holy Spirit, has come. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. These verses are very important because they teach us a great truth. The truth is known as conviction. Before a sinner can be converted, he must be convicted of his sin. He must realize that his sin is wrong. He must be unhappy, recognizing his need of Jesus Christ. That his life to date has been a failure because his sins have not been forgiven. The great sin question is that which every man must be confronted with if he is to be prepared for eternity. And here we are told that the Holy Ghost comes, he reproves. It's never very pleasant being reproved, being rebuked, being reprimanded. The Holy Spirit must reprimand us. He must convict us, firstly, of our sin. Have you recognized this? That you're a sinner before a holy God? That you're not right with the Lord? The Holy Ghost convicts of sin. He also convicts of righteousness. The word righteousness shows us how far we fall short of God's standard. God has given us a law that he demands must be kept not only in word, but in attitude and heart. And we all break that standard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Holy Ghost must convict us of righteousness. Then the Holy Ghost also convicts us of judgment. And there is coming a day when all men must stand before God. The great white throne will be raised up before all of humanity. And there will be judgment. And those who know not the Lord will hear those fearful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Therefore, if our hearts are to be prepared for the gospel, we must recognize these truths. We must recognize what we are before the holiness of God. This can be a painful process. We have a notable illustration of it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36 through to 37. Peter was preaching. He said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The people were pricked. They suffered pain. They realized they weren't right with God. "What shall we do?" they cried. Have you seen yourself in that light? You're going through life, not knowing where to turn. Where can I find peace? Where can I find rest? Where can I find satisfaction? Pricked in your heart. What will you do? The message is still the same, you know, that was all those thousands of years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The good ground was prepared. Secondly, the good ground was prosperous. The seed was sown in the good ground, and it brought forth fruit. If someone is to be a Christian, that person's life must tell the story. There is no such thing as being a Christian and not having a life that is different. There must be a difference. Christ said, Matthew 7:20, therefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And when seed is planted into good ground, there will be a harvest. And when a person is truly saved, his life will show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when the Holy Spirit comes and convicts the sinner and brings the sinner to faith, that person will produce certain fruits. Let me read you these fruits. We have them in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are beautiful characteristics. They are descriptive of the Christian. They speak of peace, they speak of harmony, they speak of fullness, they speak of satisfaction. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. We live in a world that needs love. Men, first of all, need to love God. That's the first of the commandments. You know, Jesus Christ said, we need to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. When a person is saved, they love the Lord. When they love the Lord, they want to keep the commandments of God. They want to pray, read God's word, follow after God. They have a desire to do that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love the Lord? Have you come to that place where you've trusted Him? He loves you, you know. He died for you on the cross. He shed His blood for you. Why not love Him? Give your life to Him. The fruit of the Spirit is love. A person that loves God will love others. He will have a care and a compassion for humanity. He will want to win souls from hell. He will want to see others saved as He is saved. Have you got that desire? Your friends, your family members. Maybe they're keeping you from trusting Christ. But if you trusted Christ, you could bring them into the fold. Would you not come and take the Lord as your Savior today and bring forth this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life? The Lord said that when the fruit was produced, it yielded some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. In one place there was a good produce, in another place there was a better produce. One place was average, one place was excellent. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Perhaps you're a Christian. You feel weak. You look at others that seem to be getting on better than you, but you have some fruit there. The fruit of the Spirit is progressive. There's a maturing of the fruit. And you need to seek to develop that fruit more and more in your life through prayer and the means that God has given to you. I would encourage you with that remark. Keep striving above all things to bring forth the Spirit's fruit in your life that you might know God's power. Thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you would like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Welland Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. That's Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Welland Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. You may hear Mr. McIntyre preach each Lord's Day here in Clocher Valley Free Presbyterian Church at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8952-1611. 028-8952-1611. We assure you of a very warm welcome at all the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you, and don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.